Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad. And today we're going to talk about Don't Go in the House.
In this house, 25 years ago, a child was given life.
Donald, come here.
He was raised in isolation.
You're a bad boy.
Instructed in fear.
You're evil and you must be punished.
Imprisoned by a tormented mind.
Your father let you do things like that, but he's gone now.
And baptized in flames. Now he has come of age. His suffering has ended, and ours is about to begin.
Tomorrow, you hear that, old lady? I'll punish you again!
If you would be spared from the fury of his vengeance, whatever you do, don't go in the house. Stairway by stairway, he draws you closer to madness.
Oh, God!
And soon, he'll share the terrifying secret behind this door in the room of steel.
Don't make me do anything bad, Mother.
Don't go in the house, because the people who live there aren't people anymore. Don't go in the house. But if you do, don't say we didn't warn you. Don't go in the house.
This one is a Amazon Prime find.
Yeah, we found it on... Well, actually, no, we didn't. It was Tubi. We watched this on Tubi because Amazon was going to charge us money for it. And we were like, I don't know if this is worth money or not. So let's watch it on Tubi.
Shit, he's right. It was on Tubi. I stand corrected. It was on Tubi, and it wasn't edited.
Yeah, it wasn't
too
edited.
Much.
I think they cut out... I couldn't tell if they cut out one part where she said asshole or if it was just bad audio. Because there was other things in the movie they certainly didn't cut out, so it was very strange.
Yeah, it was probably bad audio because this movie was pretty bad.
There was not a lot to... See, here's the thing. We became aware of this movie because Waxworks Records announced they were going to release the soundtrack. The soundtrack on vinyl looks awesome. The post on Instagram had like a house with burning, like with fire coming out of the windows, and like it's an animated fire, and then the record has like a disco ball in the center of it, and we're like, okay, this must be awesome. It's a cool movie because Waxworks usually just puts out the soundtrack to good stuff, but they deceived us. Waxworks Records, if you're listening, you're probably not, but if you're listening, float us a copy of that, because we're on here talking about it. The soundtrack is going to be great. The movie.
I think this is one of those ones that some people probably think is a hidden gem, like, and they like grew up with it and they love it, because I could see this being something that, I mean, there were so many different elements of the film where you're like, man, if they would have gone this direction or they would have gone this direction, this would have been a pretty decent movie. But what kills the movie is definitely the acting. The acting is fucking terrible. And I'm talking about, like, and I always refer to this movie, Blood Rain terrible. Like, Michelle Rodriguez trying to pull off that freaking, like, English accent terrible. It's really bad.
It's... Yeah, I think Tommy Wiseau watched this and was like, this is my acting style right here. This is how I'm going to go about it. Because I love the scene where he's talking to a priest and he's like, hello, are you okay? No. Are you fine? Are you sure? Yes. Wait, what? Like, some of the stuff is so dry, I think they might have had cue cards up behind them while they're just reading it.
They probably were, and it just left me... We saw the trailer... So the Waxworks thing, whatever, got us into like looking for the trailer. We saw the trailer and we were like, what? A slasher film? Yes, we're totally there. There's a disco scene? Yes, there's a disco scene, which I'm like, oh my gosh, this reminds me of April Fool's Day. I love April Fool's Day. So there was a whole bunch of crazy shit going on in the fucking trailer. If you just watched the trailer, we should actually do this review, two reviews for this film. The actual film and then the trailer. Because the trailer was pretty dope. It was a pretty dope. That's what got us like, okay, we're going to watch this. This looks fucking nuts. You've won me over, trailer. I'm going to go and watch this movie. But the trailer actually was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, well, let's talk about what it's about. You've got our main character, whose name I've totally forgotten.
His name is Curly Haired Guy.
Yeah, a Curly Fro Guy, who lives with his mother. And at the beginning of the movie, we see a little flashback to where his mother was telling him what a naughty, wicked boy he was. And she holds his arms over the stove and burns his arms to burn the evil out of him. Then we flash forward to the present, and we see that mom has died. And then after, you know, out of the blue, he starts hearing a voice telling him, you can do whatever you want to now. You're free. You don't have to take care of your mother anymore. Do whatever you want. So you know what he wants to do?
Wait, I have an imitation, actually, of the voice.
Okay.
I'm gonna do it right now.
Okay.
You're the master of the flame. You're the master of the flame.
Yeah. So what he wants to do, what he's been holding in that his mother didn't want him to do all these years, he goes downstairs, builds a special room in the house that's fireproof, goes down to the pawn shop, buys a flamethrower and a fire suit that they just happen to have at the pawn shop, then starts going and picking up women, stripping them naked, hanging them on a hook, and burning them alive.
Wow, that's literally the whole movie. You just hit the whole movie right now.
Well, that's just the basic setup for it. There is slightly more.
There's nothing more to this movie. That's the gist of the fucking movie.
And what gets me is they set it up like, I thought like we were going to see like this really graphic burning scene. You don't.
There's cutaway. I'm not one for gore, you know, and stuff like that. I appreciate a film that makes you think, kind of like when people first saw Halloween and they were like, it's the bloodiest movie I've ever seen. And there's like one scene with like a little bit of blood in it. But it's just, there's a way to do it and it just wasn't effective. It's kind of like when the people have sex in the normal TV shows and there's a commercial, there's a cutaway. And then they come back and then they're like, you know, in the bathroom. Yeah, getting dressed where they're fully leaving the door, you know, getting out the door, whatnot.
I don't necessarily think that would have made it a better movie, but I was just like, okay, this is going to be seriously crazy. We're going to see some like crazy burning effects here or something. No, cut away.
No burning effect. The suggestion of it all, because that's cheap. That's the cheapest thing. They spend so much money on just, well, on some other scenes later on. The after effects.
So the rest of the movie is just him. Now he goes and he picks up a few more girls. And then eventually he has his little room. He's got mom's corpse off in one room.
Well, wait. Let's not jump ahead. I have a comment to say about the whole his mom dying. So his mom, who you already preemptively know going into the movie, is terrible. She was a terrible mom. And he's fucking, like, terrified of her. As opposed to anyone else in the world who is in this situation, is like, oh, mom's dead. And then you pick up the phone, ambulance, get her out. Then you're, like, fucking having a party in your big old house because you're finally free of this fucking woman who's tortured you your whole life. He's like, nah. Now I'm just gonna start burning women alive in the house in my makeshift oven. Like, what the fuck?
How did he go to that? Like, if they
smash off the flame.
Yeah, if they had shown like some flashbacks where he was like burning, trying to burn people as a kid, or like he burned an animal as a kid, I could be like, okay, his mom like saw him doing these things and kind of punished him for it, and then, you know, now that she's gone, he's gonna take it up again. But no, just out of the blue, he was like, you know what I should do? I should go out and just start burning women, because now that mom's dead, she can't stop me.
Yeah, it's what I've always wanted to do my whole life. But no, he was a good kid. She fucked him up, man. This is a psycho scenario where the mom, messed him up, and now he's all fucking nuts. And let me tell you, this store that he goes to, this pawn shop, got a lot of business from him.
Yeah.
And he spent a long time looking at these windows. Like, I was just like, I've never seen a movie where it's not a chick or a romantic comedy or something where, like, someone's staring at the windows to a store for a really long time. I was just like, okay, it was like everything, and then everything he needed kind of was like in the window. It was very weird.
It was very convenient.
He didn't have to go in and shop for hours. He knew exactly what he needed because it was right there waiting
right there for in him. The window. Because I imagine pawn shops get a lot of people that are like, I need a flamethrower and a fire suit. I feel like that might be illegal to sell both of those in the same shop. But
he has his friend. He's like a coal miner, right?
What the fuck is he doing? No, he works at the incinerator. Oh. Surprise. He works at the city incinerator.
Oh, yes.
And there's a great scene where he, a guy, which, like, first of all, if you work at the incinerator, wouldn't you know when you see, like, a can of deodorant or something in there in the incinerator, just leave that shit alone. You know it's going to explode.
The camera made a point. Like, the director was like, zoom in to the can and the flames to show that this shit is going to explode.
Like it says, will explode under extreme heat. It zooms in close. We're like, oh, okay.
Spoiler alert. I guess
that might explode under extreme heat.
Someone's going to get blown the fuck away right now.
Yeah, so this guy catches on fire, and our hero, curly-haired Joe, he just stands there and is watching him while he's on fire, and everyone's like, what's wrong with you? They're in New Jersey, by the way. This explains a lot about the movie.
I have no comment.
And then, you know, there's a guy at the place that's very aggressively trying to be his friend. At first I thought, like, is he gonna try and pick up on him because he's after him like he was the hot new girl at the place. He's always like, hey, come have a beer with me, come hang out with me, let's go to the movies, let's do this, let's do that. He's after our hero. Can you look up our hero's name so I can stop calling him curly haired Joe? I think his name is Joe, isn't it?
His name is Donald.
Donald, sorry.
Kohler.
Donald Kohler.
Donald.
So the guy from the place is trying to be his friend, but he doesn't need a friend because he's out picking up these women. He doesn't have sex with them. He doesn't do anything else. He just takes them home and burns them. Then he dresses them very nicely. I guess that's why he took their clothes off. Puts them in a room upstairs, and they're all sitting there in a circle. He goes back and has monologues with them from time to time where he tells them, hey, you're not going to tell me what to do anymore, and you guys need to stay pretty. You need to stay well-groomed. You need to not lie to me because I don't like being lied to. Like, who the fuck are you talking to? They're dead.
But they're alive in his mind, obviously. I mean, he put fancy fucking clothes on them, right? Fancy clothes. Like, they're going out on a night of fucking town. Yeah, they're mad crispy. They're not going
anywhere. Yeah, it's like French fries dressed up in the room.
By the way,
it's
Donnie and Bobby.
Yeah.
Donnie and Bobby. Yeah, Donnie and Bobby. Bobby is the friend's name.
Yeah.
Donnie is curly hair McGee.
Yeah. So first, the other thing too, this house that you're not supposed to go into, which I guess that just applies like to the women that shouldn't go in the house. But
I don't know. Later on, it gets crazy, and then it's anybody that goes in the house.
Yeah, but this house is insane. It's like someone, you know, it's a giant, rambling-looking house, kind of like the Psycho house, except it looks like it might have been decorated. It was definitely decorated in New Jersey because it's the weirdest. It's just like there's, like, weird little Cupid dolls everywhere. There's wallpaper ripped up. There's rooms that are still under construction. Everything in the house looks insane and shitty. The outside looks fine. The inside looks like it's been condemned years ago.
Well, technically, yes, because the backstory to the house.
We looked it up and found out that the house actually had been condemned, and they used it for filming just because it was cheap. And that years later, it was actually bought by a historical society there in New Jersey. And as they're still restoring it, they show the Don't Go in the House movie at the house every October, which, even though this movie's pretty crappy, that would be pretty cool to go see it in the actual house where it was filmed.
Yeah, because this house is one of these films that the house steals the show, or the house is definitely like the main focal point, even if it's not the main focal point, because it's a pretty amazing house. Like,
if it was fixed up, it'd be awesome.
It's scary looking. Like, it's very old.
It's got that narrow staircase going upstairs where, like, you feel like if you were bigger than about 6 feet tall, you wouldn't be able to fit through the staircase.
Yeah. So. It's one of those, like, definitely New Jersey, New York, like, old houses. Because people are smaller, so you would think, like, in my old apartment, like, everything would be low. But the ceilings are pretty high in the house. It's one of those East Coast houses. So they're pretty high, and there's, like, wood everywhere.
Yeah, everything in the house looks like it was a library at some point, like a wood paneling library.
Yeah, it's pretty magnificent, I have to say.
Yeah, but then there's some rooms that look like someone just went into it with an axe and started hacking pieces out of the wall. It was like, oh, okay, I guess someone just went in here and stole all the copper wire and shit like they do in the houses when no one's around. But yeah, so he's gathering them up, and
he sees his mom now. Like, she's walking around, like, but she's... She has, like, long gray, like, witch hair, and she's wearing, like a fucking, like, a death veil. It's, like, a weird setup.
Just every now and then he turns around, and she's looking at him, giving him the crazy eyes, pointing at him, and, like, you're evil! Yeah, she just pops up like a jack-in-the-box every now and then. You're evil! I don't get that part of it, but anyhow. So, he has his friend that keeps calling him Bobby, who's aggressively calling him, to go out, and finally he calls him up and is like, hey, Donnie, we gotta go out this weekend, because I got these girls lined up, and I've already made all the excuses with my wife as to why I'm gonna be out. Oh, Bobby, so you an asshole, we get it. So he tells him, you gotta come and meet these girls, they're live wires, they're gonna be ready to go. It's like, okay. So then you get the long scene of Donnie Curly Hair going out shopping for clothes.
Okay, first of all, he only goes to one store, okay?
But he's there for a while.
He meets the most magnificent salesperson ever.
Yeah, the guy's like, yes, the disco. That's where people go now, isn't it?
See, this is a scene we were missing from Halloween. Or any other movie where the killer was wearing clothes, or you would assume other clothes at one point, and then dons the killer outfit. This is that moment that there doesn't exist in other movies. It only exists in this one because this scene is very long. It's a very long scene, but it's one of my favorite scenes because it is so out of place and the acting is just really terrible on Donnie's part. But, like, the other guy, he's pulling it off.
Yeah, other guy, first of all, is, like, super tall and thin, pale, has, like, light red hair. And he's, like, explaining, like, all the different styles of clothing. And, like, Donnie's like, hey, I like this shirt. What do you think about this shirt? And he's like, it's tacky. Very tacky.
Yes, he says the woman that was looking at it thought it was very tacky. It's a red, like, cowboy, like, bolero shirt.
Matador.
Oh, excuse me. It was a matador.
He said, this is the matador style.
The matador style was not good. It was pretty bad. It was red.
So he finally, like, agrees, like, here. First of all, I love that this guy is one of those salesmen looking at him and goes, yes, you're about a 15S, right? He's like, yeah, that's right.
That's to let you know that this motherfucker is experienced.
He's an awesome salesman.
Okay, he goes to random places. He's like, you wear a 17 neck. Like, yeah. However you men judge. Because I know it's all by, like, the neck collar size, right?
Yeah.
17 collar. You know, 34 long.
Now, this is the first time in the movie we're going to see him in anything other than, like, his jeans, his, you know, sweatshirt.
His incinerator outfit.
And his, like, vest that he's wearing, you know, the puffy vest that everybody had in the 70s and 80s. So then he shows up in his suit, and hey, he looks pretty good in his suit.
He looks fucking great in the suit. The guy did a good job.
If he had just combed his hair, he might have looked really good, but since he just still had his crazy fro going everywhere, it's like, you're almost there, but he didn't look bad. He picked out a normal suit. I was expecting it to be when the guy was going to be playing a trick on him and he was going to show up in, like, a crushed velvet red suit at the disco. But no. So he shows up at the disco to meet these girls. And there's some winners. You got the one girl who's, You know, she likes to make, you know, she knows they work for the incinerator, so she likes to make trash jokes all the time. She's like, oh, hey, what's all this rubbish about? I just made a pun. No, that's not funny. But Bobby and the one girl get out on the dance floor. The other girl's trying to get Donnie to come out and dance. And she makes the mistake of grabbing his hands and pulling them over the candles on the table. And she does this, trying to pull his hands out. You know, she's pulling him out on the dance floor and she's pulling his hands over the candles. She does this for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Wait, you forgot the most important part. Donnie went to go talk to Father so-and-other.
Father Garrity.
And Father Garrity, he's, you know, Donnie's concerned about these evil doings and his mom and the damage she'd done. Father Garrity gets him straight up. He literally turns Donnie's life around. From the moment that Donnie talks to him, he's like, Father Garrity talks to Donnie. Donnie's decided, that's all in the past. I'm starting anew. So
yeah, that was why he went to the disco.
That's why he went to the disco, because he had been encased indoors for like 3 days. He missed work. He's on the verge of getting fired.
Just so you know, after 3 days, this sumbitch be cracked after being home and off work. He cracked. Just so everybody remembers, it took 3 days for a guy from New Jersey to crack and start killing people.
Anywho, and then he goes to the disco and he wants to have a good time. He's not there to pick up women and drag them back to his house with his poor lame excuses on why he has to stop over at his house.
There is nothing sexual about him at all. Except that he strips them naked to hang on the hook. And I think that's just because he doesn't want to burn their clothes.
Because he wants to put them on later.
I guess. But yeah, I thought there was going to be like a sexual component to it. But they're really not.
So yeah, so this jester, this girl's trying to get him on the dance floor. He's sitting down. And there's a table. But of course, like in any club, you always have that like candle that's randomly in the, you know, because it's dark in there. You're going to have a candle. So the motion of like trying to get him up off the seat, and which is like, if you would have, there's a table between you. He's like, he's going to jump over the table and it's a high top table to get on the fucking dance floor. But anyways, that motion, like Chad was saying, just sets him off, because it's the same motion we see at the beginning of the movie where the mom is pulling him over the oven, over the stove, and he gets burned.
So, like anyone in this situation, he just grabs the candle and smashes it into the girl's head and sets her hair on fire.
My second favorite scene.
Yeah, and she's just running around the disco with her hair on fire. She does the stop, drop, and roll, some people put it out. And of course, her brother's there, dressed a little like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. He chases Donnie out on the parking lot and just beats the shit out of him all over the parking lot. The only reason that Donnie doesn't just get beat to death by him is because he manages to get in his truck and drive away. And where does he drive to? Well, as he's driving by the bar and he sees two drunk girls coming out of the bar, they wave down a ride. He's like, all right, I just set one girl on fire. I might as well get a couple more to take home.
So yeah, this, for the rest of the time frame of this movie, it's just with him back at the house, you know, doing his usual thing as he's trying to do. But now he has this disgruntled brother. They have like that whole brawl in the freaking parking lot. The disgruntled brother's after him. The Father Garrity gets called by Bobby to help come over because he's lost his ever loving mind. And, you know, these two girls are trapped in the house because he picked up two random drunks.
He actually stopped. They got a whole case of, what was it they had? I think it had just the whole case of, like, Pabst Blue Ribbon or some cheap shit they picked up. And they've got that there. And he's like, oh, hey, why don't you just go look around my weird house with all the QB dolls and the messed up walls. He separates them, knocks one out, takes her to the incinerator room. Takes the next one there after he knocks her out. Meanwhile, Father Garrity and Bobby are beating on the door trying to get in. They finally bust in, look around. They hear the girls crying in the incinerator room. When they open it up, and just imagine the priest and your coworker open the room to your house. They find you've made it into a giant oven. And they find a girl hanging from the hook. So they take them out of there. But as they're leaving, they hear a noise. And Father Garrity, well, he goes back to try and see what the noise is. And here comes Donnie at the top of the stairs.
Master of the flame.
In the full fire suit with the flamethrower.
Full fire suit. Flamethrower.
And he just burns that priest alive and sets the house on fire.
Yeah, he loses it. The whole house is on fire. Now, let's...
This is your next favorite part of the movie, I'm sure.
Yeah, this part of the movie is just so ridiculous. So as we mentioned earlier, there are parts where you see, quote-unquote, the mom in this crazy getup, you know, in random parts of the house, walking by. You even see the burned-up women, you know, get up and taunt him and take him down. And they're moving around, they're walking, whatever. They're doing things at some point in the film. And you think, okay, this is all in this fucker's head because he's obviously insane. And he's hearing these random, this woman who's talking to him or whatever. So you know, that's going down and it hits the news. And then you see a kid watching. And is it the kid of the guy?
You don't just see the mom getting up and around. You finally see all the women in the house.
Yeah, that's what I said. And the women were also getting
up. They're all up. They're all around. They're all chasing him. The house is burning. Yeah, so go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, and then we thought, wait a second. Were they alive the whole time? Like, they're badly burned. But they don't, you know, it's impossible. They're dead. And you see this kid watching the news and he's overhearing, you know, the terrible things that have happened, you know, so-and-so was caught, la, la, la. And the mom in the kitchen is preparing something and she's like calling her son, Michael, turn it off, Michael. He's not listening. His name's Michael, by the way. He's not listening. This movie came out in 1979.
Yeah.
So it's a year after Halloween, right?
It was probably made in 78, though.
Yeah, well, and then she gets so pissed because he's totally disobedient, not listening to anything. She goes into the freaking next room and beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't just like slam him. It's closed fist punching this, like, what, 6-7-year-old? She's just punching him in the face.
He's a little older than that. I would say he's like 8 or 9. But it's nevertheless, he's still a kid. He's getting the shit beat out of him.
Yeah, I mean, she's like closed fist beating his ass all over the living room.
And the POV is his POV. So you're seeing her like do it to him.
Making the crazy eyes while she's punching him.
Yeah, you're not going to be disobedient. You're not going to be disobedient. Yeah, like, she's really fucking pissed that he didn't want to turn off the TV. And she walks away after, you know, she's beat him thoroughly. And then you hear, Michael, you're another master of the flame.
Yeah. You start hearing the same voice talking to him. You're like, okay.
And there's an uncomfortable, seem like 30-minute slow pan to his face.
Yeah, like they're slowly zooming in.
It's zooming
like,
into his face,
they're like,
yeah.
Take your time. There's no hurry. They're already in the theater. If they've waited this long... Yeah, so that goes on forever, and then credits.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so...
Was it a slasher film? Was it a paranormal film? Was it a possession film? Were there demons? What the fuck was going on in this movie?
Through the whole movie, I thought he was just hearing this in his head. These were his crazy voices that he was hearing. But no, apparently the voices were real. You know what it kind of reminded me of? Daniel Isn't Real.
Ooh, very good movie.
In Daniel Isn't Real, you have an imaginary friend who turns out to be not so imaginary. And this is a similar kind of thing. I'm wondering if it just passed from one person to the next or how it works exactly. But yeah, like you said, they don't really make it clear. I mean, at the end, it's obvious the voice he was hearing was some kind of evil something that goes around. But what? Why? Why did it pick him? Why did it pick the next? Did it just go to abused kids? And why did it wait till he was like 35 to finally start talking to him? But the other kid is like, nah, you're 8. It's probably fine for you to start killing people.
Yeah, it's like...
Kids mature faster now.
But you know what? Maybe they learned. And they were like, we can't wait till they get older and then the mom dies for him to, like, get commit these murders. We're going to have him do it now, which is like, how is this kid going to lure back women and burn and like, burn them?
Well, he's just going to start with his mom, probably.
Yeah, but then you're just going to kill one? Like, the thing wanted it to keep killing women. Like, it was like, when he was trying to transform his life, oh, by the way, which was, like, a whole 5 hours. Like, there wasn't, it was probably, like, a day where he was, like, good. Because he talked to Father Garrity, and then he went to the thing to get his clothes, and then, boom, he was in the disco club.
Yeah, it's kind of like Jeffrey Dahmer went to Weight Watchers for a day, and they were like, dude, you need to stop eating people. And he was like, all right. And then he got hungry, and he went right back to cannibalism. That's how I was looking at it. Like, yeah, that lasted about that long. He got his weird, like, horny feeling or whatever it was for burning people. And he was like, well, it's been 24 hours. I'm pretty good. I owe myself a cheat day.
I'm telling you guys, I think it was, like, fucking 5 hours. It was like, I was just like, you've been good for 5 seconds, bro. Like, what the fuck? Mind you, this bitch should have not been doing that to him. Like, he didn't want to dance. He told her from the get-go. This is a lesson, okay? Women. If the man says he don't want to dance, and I have to also adhere to this because Chad's like, what the fuck? You've done this to me before. If he don't want to dance.
For the record, I did not smash a candle in her head and set her hair on fire, though.
Didn't you, though?
I threw it at you, but I didn't hit you. It's a difference.
No, that did not happen. He did not do that. If a guy says he doesn't want to dance, don't force him to dance. And definitely do not jerk his arms over a fucking candle. Because you might get fucking smashed over the head with a fucking candle. And then you're doing like... And you know what was messed up?
They didn't take her out in the ambulance.
They didn't take her out in the ambulance. And also, no one stopped dancing.
Yeah, everyone kept dancing. And we forgot to mention, like, I don't know... Oh, hello, kitty. I don't know what kind of insane disco this was, but it looked like a combination, like, goth, leather, disco. Like, there are people in, like, you know, full vinyl outfits dancing around. Everyone there was wearing a choker. There's people in punk outfits. It was a very eclectic disco. It was like, hey, all the punk disco closed, the goth club closed. They were like, we're all welcome here. We'll play a couple of punk songs. We'll play a little Bauhaus. We'll do a little for everybody.
I'm done. Well, we saw some similarities, but they were actually not similarities because they came out afterwards. But this was very reminiscent, or I should say Pieces was very reminiscent to this.
Yeah, where you've got, you know, the crazy body comes back at the end.
See, so someone must have seen this movie. And then years later, we're like, I'm going to make this movie, but I'm going to make it in this different way, but better. Because a lot of this movie, you can totally put up against Pieces. And yeah. I think Pieces is a better movie than this movie is.
Ooh, and that's saying something.
Yeah, Pieces, yeah. But it's such a... It's such a good slasher film, though. There's so many good kills.
See, this one, the thing was, is I was expecting there to be a lot of good kills in it, and there weren't.
They're both terrible movies. But one's a cult classic, and the other one's not.
This one is not the cult classic.
The coolest thing about this movie is that Waxworks record.
Yeah. And if it's just all the thing on the Waxworks record is just going to be that disco music, fine with that.
Sold. Disco, what is it, Disco Stew?
Yeah, Disco Stew says buy this record. I'm definitely putting that on Instagram.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us in yet another episode of Jump Scare, a horror podcast. We can be found on Instagram. And if you happen to be on Facebook, we are on there, but as the Orlando Horror Society.
Yeah. We'll put links to everything on the descriptions of the episode. And hey, if you're our Ukrainian listener, please reach out to us because we see you downloading. We want to hear from you.
Is it the same person? Are you one person? Are you two people? We I don't know. We want to know you. Hello.
Reach out, anyone that's listening. If you have questions, comments, things you want us to cover, let us know. And especially if you're our listener in the Ukraine, we really want to hear from you.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. And remember, stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.